darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio. I'm your host, Abraham Hamilton III, joined by the full contingent right across from me. My man, the 100 grand, is back. Mr. Bobby Rosa, screening room producer extraordinaire, the real J Mac, often imitated, never duplicated, who just might smell like Barbasol. He may or may not. I ain't gonna say it. We have Mr. Marty Sparks lighting up the dark from the screening room. Fairly partly cloudy with a slight chance of rain. And we have slight chance, small chance, a pittance of an opportunity towards rain. And we have, for the summertime that is, rapidly counting down. Last month already. Whether you drive a truck or a car, it's my man Double R in the building. Reed Ritter is with us, and we're ready to rock and roll with today's edition of the program at this very moment. Many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition. Oh, I sent Reed a screenshot last night of the dedication page of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals. He was quite interested in seeing that. Isn't it weird just seeing that in real, in print? Because I know sometimes people think I've just pulled stuff out of the air. Like, no, this is real. At this very moment, many of you, if not most of you, are making your transition from your part-time jobs where you generate an income to your full-time jobs where you cultivate an outcome. Outcome cultivation is the order of the day. Another way to describe outcome cultivation, it would be Mamdani-proofing our nation.
I gotta have more cowbell.
I'm not talking about the person necessarily, but I'm talking about the ideology. Outcome cultivation is the means by which we Mamdani-proof our country. This should be a warning for the whole nation, a clarion call to wake up. You know, because I know people want to think, whoa, Mr. Cardamom, MC Cardamom, I'm not, that's his rap name. MC Cardamom must have had a wonderful campaign. No, not so much. He must have had ideas. Not so much. What had happened was, New York City is filled with generational Marxists, who many of which happen to vote in the Democratic primary for the mayorship. And they actually agree with Mamdani's policies. How did that happen? Because the Lord calls his people to worship him with our hearts, souls, strength, yes, but guess what else? Our minds. Outcome cultivation is how we Mamdani-proof our nation. We must be about our Father's business. Make no mistake about it. I've said it numerous times. The objective is not merely to cultivate an affinity for political conservatism. The objective is to make disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've explained my own journey. I'm not saying anybody has to have my journey. But my journey was the Lord saved me, captured my heart, and I set about thereafter endeavoring to live according to what the scripture requires, which is why the first time I heard the term conservative, somebody lobbed it at me as an insult, and I didn't even know what it meant. I just say, call me whatever name you want to call me. But one thing I know is Jesus saved me, and this is what his word teaches. So you can call it whatever you want. But there's a reality when the Lord's word has gripped you and shapes your heart and how you engage life. It ultimately will impact your politics. And the fundamental divergent point of humanists and Marxists and atheists, someone say, why are you repeating yourself, Abe? Is that they have a foundational flawed understanding of the human heart. That's the bottom line. As we engage in outcome cultivation, God gives us the prerogative and the privilege to start that right in our own homes. Refuse to neglect your homes in an effort to win the world. start right in your own homes. To the Word of God we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. I want to point something out from Scripture, and this is going to relate to some of the things we're going to talk about later in the show. I don't know if many of you saw that the University of Pennsylvania cried uncle. They said, oh, no, we actually going to reward the medals and the race records from 2022, you know, in the races that Will Thomas was swimming against girls in. Yeah, we're going to go ahead and give those medals and award those women who swam in those races. We're going to award them properly.
Why are you crying?
Why are you crying? All it took was a federal investigation with the threat of Department of Justice referral from the Trump administration. That's all it took. Isn't it amazing? Like, just wrap your minds around this. All it took to take a Ivy League university and to require them to answer the question, what is a woman? All it took was federal investigation. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, man. Or do you not know, verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, we're going to go all the way to verse 11. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Please pay attention to this, guys. Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of God. Guys, this is the Word of God. It's plain and simple. You don't need to have, you know, Koine Greek 301 to navigate this. You know, you don't have to, you know, sign language. You know, the Scripture is patently clear, but there are efforts afoot to try to obfuscate the clear teaching of God's Word. The Scripture here, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth, and he explains, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He identifies the unrighteous, those who persist in this lifestyle unrepentantly. He goes on to describe categories that substantiate who, in fact, is deemed biblically as unrighteous. So again, Paul explains, do you not understand? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? These are people that the Spirit of God is communicating through the Apostle Paul that will not inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent. And I'm going to demonstrate that for you just from the text. In illustrating those who are deemed as unrighteous, who are disqualified from inheriting the kingdom of God but for repentance, Paul lists fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate. Who would be effeminate, you might ask? That would be men presenting themselves as women. That would be men displaying a marred picture of the Imago Dei by refusing to embrace the God-ordained, designed masculinity and cloaking masculinity in femininity by display. Because you're not changing the foundational understanding. I've explained before, maleness is identifiable at a cellular level. Those who would want to focus on visible organ display willfully are ignorant of the reality that you can exhume skeletons, assess cellular DNA examination, and determine these bones belong to a man. These bones belong to a woman. God, by his Spirit, communicated through the Apostle Paul in this text, identifies effeminacy among those that are unrighteous who will not inherit the kingdom of God unless they repent. Notice, Paul isn't trying to highlight, you know, this is, you have an inordinate focus on the LGBT. No. Fornicators, that would be heterosexual violators of God's standards. They're included right there. Idolaters, broad overarching category. Oh, also, guess who? Adulterers. That would be additional heterosexual violators of God's standards who are engaging in extramarital physical intimacy, who are married to spouses who violate their covenant with their spouses by straying. Then you have effeminate and homosexuals, but it doesn't stop there. Guess who's mentioned next? Thieves. And this is one of the scriptures that completely repudiates the notion of, you know, so-called, quote-unquote, gay Christianity, that God doesn't condemn the desire. He just condemns the activity. That ain't true, because God condemns the effeminate display and the homosexual engagement. God likewise condemns those who are thieves that actually execute the asportation of another's property and the covetous. What do you see there? A similarity between the ungodly, inordinate, unrighteous desire being deemed as sinful, also disqualified from the kingdom of God, as well as the cohate performance of activity following the ungodly desire. The scripture is plain. It's clear. Nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers. None of these people will inherit the kingdom of God. Then, just in case you guys, and I know, you know, I've been on Right Wing Watch, you know. He was a hater. Guys, I'm telling you this because I love you. Because heaven is real. Because eternal life is real. Because hell is real. And I don't want anybody to say, man, I listened to Hamilton Corner. I never heard him say anything about this. The clarity that Jesus is proclaiming by his spirit through the Apostle Paul, that all of these things disqualify you from the kingdom of God unless you repent, is affirmed and confirmed in verse 11. When the scripture says, such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the spirit of our God. What the Lord is saying through the Apostle Paul here is that his body, the kingdom of God, the eternal family of God, includes people who formerly were fornicators, who formerly were adulterers, who formerly were effeminate, who formerly were homosexuals, who formerly were thieves, who formerly were covetous, who formerly were drunkards, who formerly were revilers and swindlers. But guess what happened? They repented. They repented. They turned. They didn't lie about the sinful condition. They didn't deny the fact that the desperate cry of their heart that drove them toward this wicked conduct that would have earned them rightfully a spot in eternal damnation. But they turned. But they repented. But they were washed. But they were sanctified. And I don't care what the liars in Hollywood say. I don't care what the liars in media, the talking heads, the podcasters, the commentators. I don't care what they say. God is still in the business of saving souls. Still redeeming people from all manner of sinfulness. And if you're listening to me as I was reading some of this stuff and you were feeling, ooh, Abe, don't talk about my particular sin proclivity. Listen, I'm going to tell you plainly and simply, God loves you so much, he wanted you to hear that. Because he wanted you to know that you have the opportunity to repent now. You can turn. There is no hole too deep, no sin condition too strong. There is nothing too deep to keep you from the love of Jesus Christ. But you have to repent. You have to admit that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. You have to confess that sin, and you have to turn. Don't think you have to perfect yourself, get it all together, then you're going to make your change. Give your life to Jesus now. He is the one that works in you to walk out the reality of that repentance so that you can join the ranks of the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11, of the such were some of you ranks. Don't allow this culture to continue to lie to you, to seduce you into a comfortable disposition with sinfulness that'll lead you straight to hell. Continuing in these ways without repentance, you cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But if you repent, you can be among the ranks of the such were some of you.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Genesis chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Then he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed and morning came, marking the first day. Father, thank you, Lord, again for your word. Thank you for the power and the grace found in your word. And thank you for the anointing that rests upon your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that your word is you. And as we spend time in your word, we're spending time with you as you speak words of counsel, wisdom, power, blessing, and grace into our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Shining light into the darkness. This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. I started this show the way I did in 1 Corinthians 6 to just simply remind us that we're having conversations, and I'm about to cover the story of Will Thomas, who identified himself as Leah Thomas, who was a swimmer at the Ivy League University of Pennsylvania, was a swimmer for all 3 years of his college time as a man, and he ranked about 472nd. And then in his last year, I'm going to go out with a bang. He decided, well, you know what? I'm a woman. Magically, once he identifies himself as a woman, the NCAA, for some reason, and the University of Pennsylvania say, sure, you can, with your male anatomy intact, join our women swimmers in the locker room, which you had several women, teammates and competitors, not on his team, but were in the women's locker room saying that he would be in there gazing upon, y'all know what goes on in locker rooms, right? But he would respond as a man, not doing anything physically, but given the apparent appearance of being of enjoying his time in the locker room, let's say it that way. And the society, ESPN, all these networks. Whoa, what bravery, what courage. The first transgender swimmer. I'm just saying, I know people call me names, whatever. The scripture says effeminacy is amongst one of the sins. Effeminacy. Because it denies the truth of the Imago Dei, it denies the truth of God's word, and it undermines the authority and applicability of God's word. My concern with this is not only for fairness of women's sports, which I do agree with fairness in women's sports, but my concern extends beyond fairness in women's sports. I'm concerned about Will Thomas's soul. While the world is cheering, what bravery, what courage, I'm saying, Will, admit, confess, believe, man. That's sinful for you to act this way, to be this way. And I'm not denying things happen in people's lives. We live in a fallen world. It is grotesque how frequently children have their innocence and their development intruded upon by sinful and criminal acts often that twist their mind, pervert their development, and people have all kinds of things they wrestle with. But none of that changes the fact of what God's word says. So you have this week, the University of Pennsylvania entered a voluntary agreement with the United States Department of Education because following President Trump's executive order concerning men and women's sports, the Department of Education under Linda McMahon said, we're going to conduct an investigation as to whether or not the University of Pennsylvania violated Title IX, which was created to protect women. And I've said it before, this is not to be unnecessarily provocative, but I don't use descriptors for when I say men and women, because the terms men and women are self-describing. I'm not going to say biological man, because a man is a man, including his biology. As I said before, maleness is true to the cellular level. And frankly, guys, there's no amount of surgery, no amount of chemical ingestion, no amount of medication that will change that. That doesn't mean we should be insensitive to people who are struggling. That doesn't mean we should be belligerent toward people who are struggling with different things. No. But I'm not going to lie to people in an effort to be loving to them. I've told you guys numerous times, she's been on this program, Laura Perry, who lived for 9 years as a man. And she said one of the greatest things that ever happened in her life after she suffered all kinds of abuse, all kinds of difficulty, is that her parents never called her by a male name. That she knew whenever she went home to her parents' house that they were going to remind her, your name is Laura. And she was grateful for that because God used that. This is her words. God used her parents' refusal to call her a male name as a tether to reality for her. Because her entire life was built around this delusion that she had manufactured. Her job called her a man. Her apartment was rented in a man's name. Her driver's license says something about a man, called her a man. But when she went home, good old mom's, hey, Laura. And it was a hook tethering her to reality. And God used that to begin to open her heart ultimately to the gospel. And now, by God's grace, she not only has embraced her God-given identity as a woman, but God has blessed her with profound ministry. She's married. Her husband has been on the show with her. It's an amazing testimony. One of my closest friends was able to go to her wedding. It's an amazing thing. But this is what we deny people when we indulge them in delusion. My concern is that Will Thomas and people like Will Thomas will end up in hell because of our lying society affirming their delusion. They know when they put head to pillow at night. Will knows he's not a woman. Just like Laura knew. I'm not a man. So the University of Pennsylvania has now entered to this voluntary agreement. It's voluntary the same way, hey, I'm going to give you, I got an offer you can't refuse, eh? You do not want to pass up this offer. Because had they not agreed, the next step would have been potential DOJ referral for criminal investigation and things of that nature, ultimate prosecution. But that being said, I'll start with this clip that kind of summarizes some of the changes that the University of Pennsylvania has implemented. Then I'll come after the clip and kind of expound on that a bit. Clip number one, go.
This morning, the University of Pennsylvania reversing course, saying it will now ban transgender athletes and strip trans swimmer Thomas of swimming titles. The school reaching a deal with the Trump administration, saying it will comply with Title IX, as interpreted by the Department of Education, and saying it will restore the records and titles of female athletes who lost to Thomas and send apology letters to them.
And Thomas pulling away.
Thomas made history in 2022, becoming the first openly transgender athlete to win an NCAA Division I title. The win sparked fierce debate over fairness, including from some of Thomas's own teammates. Education Secretary Linda McMahon calling Penn's new agreement a major victory for women and girls nationwide.
Now, again, just, you know, a lot of you guys know I played basketball in college. Reed is quite athletic himself. We all of us have played sports at different points. Wouldn't basic, simple old common sense say this dude has been a competitive collegiate swimmer as a man for 3 years and he ain't never get hired at number 470 something? And listen, competing at the collegiate level it's an accomplishment in and of itself, but let's be clear about something. To have the 472nd swimmer, now all of a sudden he's starting to dominate? Oh, yeah, all he had to do was say he was a girl. Like, common sense should have said, nah, bro, we can't have a champion for the women who was number 472 for the men. But this is what I'm saying, guys. We are living in the era the Bible told us was coming. When good will be called evil, evil will be called good. Men's foolish hearts will be darkened. They'll become decimated in their reasoning capacities, guys. This is a foolish conversation to engage in. It's absurd. It's absurd. But we are indulging the absurdity because there are others who are vested in an interest beyond the particular competition. So, pursuant to this joint agreement, and it was announced by both the U.S. Department of Education and the University of Pennsylvania, the agreement requires the University of Pennsylvania to restore all individual Division I records and titles to female athletes. So every race that Will Thomas was allowed to swim against women, the actual women who won the races have now been declared the winners of these races. All right? The University of Pennsylvania's website, as we're speaking right now, currently shows women holding the school's top times in the events that Will Thomas's name used to be at the top of. All right? University of Pennsylvania President J. Larry Jameson issued a statement saying, quote, "We acknowledge that some student athletes were disadvantaged by the NCAA's rules during the 2021-2022 swim season. We recognize this and will apologize to those who experienced a competitive disadvantage or experienced anxiety because of the policies in effect at the time," end quote. Now, this is from the 21-22 swim season. It's just 2025. And again, this is an Ivy League university. Why did it take the federal government to investigate them to get them to do this? And they are acknowledging, yeah, it was a competitive disadvantage. You don't think you got a dude who was just swimming competitively against men last week? You don't think that's a competitive disadvantage? And it's like, why does it require the federal government to investigate you to realize, oh, Ivy League, Cole?
Cole, you stupid.
Your league may be Ivy, but you still. That's crazy. Competitive disadvantage. And it's good. Yes, they're sending letters. Letters with the university stationery and letterhead, and we are so very sorry. We allowed the man to swim in your events. I don't know why we were so stupid before, but now we now understand. Even though, you know, it really is the 47th president of the United States standing back there, but like this. Yep, tell him. That's very, tell them. This is insane. As part of the settlement, the university must also announce that it will, quote, not allow males to compete in female athletic programs, and it must adopt biology-based definitions of male and female. Guys, this is at a university, an Ivy League university. Education Secretary Linda McMahon said, quote, the department commends the University of Pennsylvania for rectifying its past harms against women and girls, and we will continue to fight relentlessly to restore Title IX's proper application and enforce it to the fullest extent of the law, end quote. Riley Gaines, the former University of Kentucky swimmer, thanked President Trump on social media, and she responded to the settlement by posting, quote, "Are pigs flying?" end quote. Are pigs flying? Yes. Yes. So the 500-meter freestyle that Will Thomas won in the women's category, he's now been stripped of that victory. And also the records he set in the women's 100 and 200-meter races have been removed. Now, can you imagine Usain Bolt? "I'm determined, man. Yeah, man, everything be all right. I retired from being a sprinter. I made a decision. I will now join the women's race. My name is not Usain anymore. It's Usana. Usana the Bolt. I can extend my track career a bit longer. I want to make it to 2028 in Los Angeles, the race." And then the whole world goes, yeah, this is progressive.
Isn't it amazing? Usana is so courageous. It's amazing. You got Usain Bolt running 9 second 100-meter dashes against the women. This is dumb, guys. This is insane. Like, the whole world. Yeah, right. Yeah, so courageous. Mm-hmm. This is, wow, Reed, you're so progressive. This is dumb, guys. I feel like Paul, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? You know, my dad used to say, man, somebody ran around, hit that dude with a stupid stick. Yep. That's what my dad used to say. Look at it, somebody hit him upside the head with a stupid stick. And to have a society, like, I think about these people at these political rallies in their suits and ties. Yeah. We're for everyone, equality. I'm like, what? You don't really mean that. Who's to say men have an advantage? It's like, oh my gosh. And, you know, I mean, Clay Travis had a thing he was saying. Hey, guys, look, haven't played basketball. This is just the truth. People don't like it, but this is just the truth. He was talking at the time when the Las Vegas Aces won the NBA championship. He's like, dude, I can find right now a high school boys basketball team, like a travel boys basketball team full of high schoolers that would dominate the Las Vegas Aces. Would dominate. People that don't play basketball would be like, how dare you? They're professionals. I'm like, look, time out. Just because somebody pays somebody to do certain things doesn't mean they're automatically better than everyone, especially when you take sexuality into the conversation. You take biology into the conversation. Here's what a lot of people don't realize. Let me just make this very plain. The number one pick in the NBA draft this past draft was Cooper Flagg. He's 18 years old now. He's 6'9". Okay? The tallest women's basketball players are like 6'5", 6'7". And most of them cannot dunk. Almost all of them can't. You have a team full of 16, 17-year-old high school Cooper Flags. They would drop the Las Vegas Aces. They'd beat them by 50 points. And anybody who would object to that either is willfully ignorant or knows nothing about basketball. That's not diminishing women to say that. There's a reason why God made men with higher bone density, thicker, more bone density, more musculature. There's a reason why men have been catching alley-oops and dunking the ball for like 40 years. And now you're starting to see women dunk a ball. This is crazy. I can't even believe I'm still talking about this.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Some would say truth is relative, and to the world, that's right. What the world considers to be truth fluctuates depending on the narrative they're trying to promote. Of course, we know truth is found in Scripture, and it never changes. The documentary, The God Who Speaks, proves the Bible's reliability as the source of real truth and reinforces our belief in it as our firm foundation. Watch it anytime at stream.afa.net. That's stream.afa.net.
Israel-Iran War. This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. After 12 days of Israeli strikes on Iran, culminating with the U.S. using bunker-busting bombs on three of Iran's nuclear facilities, Iran seems to have gotten the message, and there is a ceasefire for now. The power structure in the Middle East has changed quickly, with Iran and its proxies weakened and Israel empowered. Many Christians think Israel is just another nation, but that's not what Scripture says in Romans 11. God has not rejected his people, has he? May it never be. While the Jews are currently in large-scale rejection of God and the Messiah, Jesus Christ, God will judge and bring them to repentance and faith in him in the future. Pay attention. Hear our most recent program at thechristianworldview.org and then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner. Abraham Hamilton III here. We are going to open the phone lines this segment. The number to call if you'd like to join the party is 888-589-8840. That number again to call is 888-589-8840. The simple questions that I'm asking, you can answer either or of these. First, continuing our conversation from earlier this week, with the recent string of Supreme Court victories, many of them profound victories, how does that impact your outlook for our nation? And then secondarily, if you'd like to react to what we're discussing during the program today, you are welcome to do so. I know so far we only talked about the University of Pennsylvania, but I wanted to have that conversation more so for its implication for our nation as a whole, not just the University of Pennsylvania, and even for the idea that you had to have a federal investigation before a place that's supposed to be equipping young Americans for professional life and expertise in various disciplines and things of that nature, that it took a federal investigation for them to realize, yeah, you put men in a physical women's sport and the men will have a competitive advantage. Really? How long did it take you to come to that conclusion? You know, why is there a Title IX in the first place? You want to? Anyway, moving on. Recent announcement from the FBI. Cash Patel, director of the FBI, announced the fulfillment of a promise that he made. And that is that the FBI is no longer going to have its D.C. headquarters in the Hoover building, the J. Edgar Hoover building. That is something that Cash Patel promised. They are moving out of the J. Edgar Hoover building into the Ronald Reagan building. The formal name, yes, the Ronald Reagan building complex, which currently houses U.S. Customs and Border Protection. It also was the previous home of USAID. Before they were shut down and moved over into the State Department's building. So that is saving money using an existing building instead of having additional expenses concerning this additional building. That is a move that I applaud, but I still have questions for Director Patel. You know, how's it going with finding the person who leaked the Dobbs opinion? I'm kind of still interested in that, you know. It was clearly an effort that was utilized to try to bring pressure, to apply pressure upon the Supreme Court justices before Roe was overturned. I mean, I would be interested to know that. What about the cocaine in the White House? You know, nothing on that. What about the January 6th pipe bomber? Remember that story? So we know there was a pipe bomber on January 6th and. And what about that Epstein list? Remember that? Remember that? What about that? And remember the grandstanding? And I've reported on this program what Pam Bondi said, that we're working on releasing the Epstein list and nothing? What about the video of Epstein in the jail when he hung himself, you know? Or how about this one? I reported right here, Cash Patel said that they found evidence of illegality concerning the 2020 presidential election. Any prosecutions related? I just have questions, man. I largely supported Cash Patel's nomination. I expressed my objection at one thing that concerned me about Cash Patel's nomination. I shared that on this program. But I'm certainly not one who would say that I'm out to get Cash Patel. But are these other things happening? Will they happen? These are things that gives me questions. And then I know that this is all over the internet and I know it's salacious, but it just saddens me because this is the same guy who was telling people vote or die. You know, and you have people bringing him on their networks and saying, look at these wonderful things that Sean Puff Daddy Combs. I'm like, anybody that's calling themselves P. Diddy in public, you probably don't want to take electoral advice from. Now, I'm just saying, you know. But he was over there, and all these people saying, look at this great work that he's doing. And now the world knows the man is, has depraved inclinations. I'll say it that way. You know, you have video of him literally physically beating his then-girlfriend in a hotel, was tried on several charges. The totality of the charges, he could have spent the rest of his life in jail. I'm saying spent the rest of his life in jail, because the verdict was issued today to where Sean Combs was acquitted. He was acquitted of the sex trafficking and the racketeering charges. Mm-hmm. Those were the more serious of the charges that had the risk of a life imprisonment. Sean Combs was convicted on lesser charges of transportation to engage in prostitution, two different counts. So the guilt-innocence phase of the trial has concluded. Sean Combs still has to stand for sentencing. The sentencing will take place at a later date. His attorney sought to have the judge release him on bail while he awaited sentencing, to which the judge declined to release him, saying that the evidence that was revealed in during this trial of his penchant for violence gives the judge great pause on providing him release prior to sentencing. So Sean Diddy, take that. Is going to stay in jail until he's sentenced. Now, with the current charges that he was convicted on, two counts, he faces now a maximum of 20 years in prison if the judge assesses him what's called a consecutive sentence, meaning he has to serve his time on one of the counts, then serve his time on another account, on the second of the counts. I'm not saying that's likely. I actually don't think that is likely, but that is a possibility. But he is appearing as a first offender, so we'll see what happens with the sentencing, but that did happen today. So acquitted on the serious charges, convicted on the two lesser felony charges, could still face prison time. That determination remains to be seen. As it stands, he will stay in jail until he is sentenced on the federal convictions. All right, to the phone lines we go. Let's start in Texas, where Jerry is on the line. Jerry, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, brother. Me and my boy here, who's 11 years old and can tell the difference between a boy and a girl, are enjoying some 4th of July camping.
Has he been nominated to the Supreme Court?
He might.
Just asking for a friend. Because if he was, he would be doing better than one I can think of at the moment. Go yes, ahead, sir. Jerry. Go ahead.
He was homeschooled, though, you know, so he's better off. So I think that the coaches, so, right, we know the perpetrator of the crime, William Thomas, is guilty of the crime. But the people that allow it are just as guilty. Mm. And the staff, the faculty, the coaches that allowed this and were so delusional to believe that this was bringing some type of accolade to the university should probably go through a remedial biology class themselves.
Mm.
You know, we look at the person that perpetrated it as, you know, the primary perpetrator, and that's true. But somebody allowed it to happen. And it didn't just start with that person. It went all the way through the top of the university, because that just doesn't get signed off.
So I asked a quick question, Jerry, quick follow-up for you. And just a very short answer. What do you think motivated the complicit surrounding persons?
I would say, so we were talking about, me and my son were talking about how they have switched their whole gearing for money, right? And so because they want the money that the government gives them, Biden was just shelling it out.
Shelling it, giving it.
He didn't care what the ideology was. He gave them the money. Mm. But now that we've got sensible people in administration, right, and they're going to withhold that money because they're not actually following the science, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, if their character was firm and solid, like a Christian's character, the Bible states, they would take a stance and refuse the money because they would be resolved in their character-firming foundation that what was going on was worth them taking the loss of the money. But
thank you, Jerry. So Jerry says, Abe, the short answer to your question is, money. So could that be the motivation for this reversal? I think Jerry's saying, You already know the answer to that. Let's go next to California, where Patty is on the line. Patty, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Hi, what a privilege to talk with you. My goodness.
Oh, the privilege is mine, Patty. Thank you so much for being willing to talk with me. Go right ahead.
What I'm calling about is I'm pretty pleased as to how the Supreme Court seems to be going, although there have been some glitches. Mm-hmm. I think maybe some justices are threatened that are on the court. But to segue a little bit, I'm very concerned about the 2026 midterm election. Mm-hmm. I think we are complacent now. Mm. We are happy in our victories, but I remember you talking about 36 million Christians were not going to vote in the 2024 election. Mm-hmm. And if they still don't vote in the 2026 election, that could be bad news.
Patty, you are so right. You are right. I pointed that out in the lead run up to the 2024 elections. The midterms are literally right around the corner. This is why I said the things that President Trump needs to do as a federal executive branch need to be done within the first 100 to 200 days, because as soon as we turn over, really toward the latter part of this summer, man, most of the U.S. senators are going to be campaigning for reelection. The ones that are up, a full third of the Senate is up for reelection. The entire House is up for reelection. And these midterms are vitally, vitally important. So I would simply encourage you, the audience out here, to pray and be attentive as to what's going on, and make sure your family members, your loved ones, your friends, they're aware of what's going on. You've had several U.S. senators who are Democrat incumbents who've retired that are not seeking reelection. You know, Dick Durbin in Illinois, you have Senator Peters in Michigan. You know, those are just a couple of them. Yeah, well, now that's, I say Democrat senators, and now you have Senator Tom Tillis in North Carolina, who, though he might be a Republican, wouldn't say constitutionalist, wouldn't even say conservative. There are a lot of people that are saying that the Democrat governor, Roy Cooper, who has been a statewide darling in North Carolina, that he could be the front runner to fill that seat, and that would be a flip of a Republican U.S. Senate seat to a Democrat Senate. So the midterms are vitally, vitally important. Thank you for bringing that up, for calling and sharing that with our audience here, Patty. We'll go next to Ohio, where Joe is on the line. Joe, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Hamilton, for all that you do. Full-time listener, part-time caller. You bring out some good points. Cash Patel is 10 times better than what we had under the Biden era.
Oh, yes.
But there still is a lot of unanswered questions. And I don't know if you had time to talk on it, but if you could maybe share with me, educate me and your listeners as to what the parliamentarian's role is in the Senate. I listened to AFA radio earlier today, and one of the commentators said that the parliamentarian is just basically a fall guy for whenever the senators don't want to make the tough decisions, they blame it on the parliamentarian. But do the parliamentarian have any legal standing, and what's your opinion on that? Thank you for all you do.
Oh, man, thank you for the question, Joe. It's a great question. So what ends up happening, this is so sad, but you have Democrats in the U.S. Senate in particular who outmaneuver their Republican counterparts, and they implement rules via Senate vote that are not in the Constitution. For example, the filibuster. The filibuster is not in the U.S. Constitution. A lot of people don't remember, but that the filibuster was used by Confederates to stop the Reconstruction effort in the U.S. Congress. And so they passed a rule basically to enfranchise the minority in the Senate, who were Democrats at the time, to allow them to exercise outsized power on the entirety of the House. Now, Republicans have grown to use the filibuster, but the filibuster itself is a Democrat idea. And it's become such an institution in the Senate, it's nothing more than a Senate rule. The same thing with the necessary cloture vote, 60 vote, for judicial candidates. If you recall, that had been the rule in the Senate for years. But when Democrats got a majority and they wanted Barack Obama to have an easier time nominating and appointing federal judges, then you had Harry Reid and others change the rules for lower level judges, right? So it wasn't until you had President Trump and McConnell that they applied that same rule change to Supreme Court judges. But it was, again, a Senate rule passed by, agitated for by Democrats. The parliamentarian is not a constitutional office, all right? The parliamentarian has been utilized to determine, in this instance, what measures are germane to mandatory spending to allow to be included in a reconciliation bill. What's a reconciliation bill? The one shot senators have a year, per year, where they can pass a measure that doesn't require a minimum of 60 votes to invoke cloture, which would allow a vote on the measure. Simply stated, the parliamentarian was created by the Senate, and the senators can listen to or ignore the parliamentarian based on how they vote in response to his articulations. So the parliamentarian can be a fall guy if a party doesn't want to do something and the parliamentarian enables them to do so. I'll explain more on this in a later program because I ran out of time today.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.